Today is June 26th, 2026. This is your FinTech briefing for Solopreneur. In the next 8 to 9 minutes, we'll cover the AI CapEx bubble's hidden threat to your vendor pricing and P&L. The moment stablecoin rails crossed Visa-level daily volume, and why Jeremy Grantham is telling founders to raise capital right now before the window closes. Here's a number that should stop you cold. $8 trillion. That's how much semiconductor and memory stocks added in global market capitalization year-to-date through mid-2026, according to Kevin Muir on Thoughtful Money. To put that in perspective, Michael Sembelist of J.P. Morgan Asset Management reportedly found that AI capital expenditure as a percentage of GDP now exceeds the Manhattan Project, all of New York City's bridge and tunnel infrastructure, and the entire U.S. interstate highway system combined. Darius Dale of 42 Macro puts 2026 global AI and data center capital expenditure above $800 billion, roughly 2.5% of U.S. nominal GDP, with 2027 projections climbing toward $1.2 trillion. Now here's what that actually means for your business, because this isn't just a macro spectacle. There is a specific mechanism by which this CapEx bubble hits your P&L, and it's called the token mirage. Warren Pies of 314 Research, as cited by Muir, identified a utilization spike in AI compute rental that markets read as genuine enterprise demand, but it was partially manufactured. Meta tied engineer performance reviews to per engineer token consumption. Some engineers reportedly built circular AI workflows just to top internal leaderboards. Microsoft and Amazon reportedly received token bills approaching $500 million before they pulled back from per-token enterprise pricing. Markets interpreted all that activity as real demand. It wasn't. Building on that, the consequence for yous is that the flat-rate AI subscriptions you're running right now, $20 to $200 a month, are consuming compute at a fraction of the true per-token cost. Muir and Adam Taggart both confirmed this on Thoughtful Money. So here's your action item. Model your P&L with AI API pricing at 10 to 50 times what you're paying today in your stress case scenarios. Any feature that runs heavy token consumption at current prices may be economically non-viable once pricing normalizes. That's not a hypothetical. Cerebras Systems beat Bloomberg Consensus 2026 revenue guidance, $855 to $865 million, against an $825 million consensus, and their shares still fell 14% in a single session. The SOX index dropped 8% in one day. Vendor concentration risk in your AI inference layer is already real. And for enterprise sales, the implication is equally direct. Clients who drove your pipeline with AI procurement mandates are now under active pressure to show ROI on token spend. Stop leading with abstract AI capability. Reframe everything around measurable cost per transaction improvements. That's the conversation enterprise buyers need to have with their CFOs right now. Let's move to payments, because this is a genuine inflection point. Tom Lee of Fundstrat, cited on the Anthony Pompliano channel, reported that daily stablecoin transaction volume now exceeds Visa's daily volume. Visa processes roughly $12 to $15 trillion in annual volume. If you verify that directional claim against on-chain data from Nansen or Dune Analytics, you are looking at a moment where alternative payment rails have crossed a critical adoption threshold. For founders building in payments, the product-led growth motion for stablecoin acceptance now has a market-size argument that justifies direct sales investment. The rails USDC on Ethereum and Solana USDT on Tron are no longer niche. They are competing on throughput directly with traditional card network infrastructure. But the compliance stack is non-negotiable before you scale. FinCEN MSB registration, travel rule compliant transaction monitoring through tools like Chainalysis, Elliptic, or TRM Labs, and stablecoin issuer reserve attestation verification. Circle publishes monthly attestations. That's your baseline. The travel rule threshold for stablecoin transfers, per FATF Recommendation 16, is $3,000. If you're building stablecoin settlement at scale without travel rule compliant monitoring, you are building a compliance liability that will surface at the worst possible time. One additional due diligence flag: Mark Faber on Wealthion characterized Trump family stablecoins as having transferred approximately $700 million from retail investors to the Trump family. Politically connected stablecoin issuers carry elevated regulatory and reputational risk that has to factor into your integration decisions. On the rate environment, and this one affects your business model architecture more than your GTM Fed chair, Kevin Warsh's first FOMC event moved December SOFR futures from pricing zero hikes to pricing approximately 1.5 hikes. Muir described Warsh's posture as, quote, as hawkish as he could possibly have been. Warsh has stated his inflation target requires the digit to the left of the decimal to be 2 and the digit to the right to be 0, meaning 2.0% exactly, versus current PCE of 3.3%. Darius Dale adds that core PCE is annualizing at 3.5% and supercore is above 4%. That creates three distinct risk profiles depending on what you've built. If you're in BNPL, variable rate credit, or revolving lines, rates higher for longer is the base case. You need to either embed rate floor assumptions consistent with a secular uptrend, or hedge via interest rate swaps through your banking partners. The assumption that rates normalize by Q3 is no longer defensible. If you're in embedded savings or high-yield savings accounts, the consumer demand is still there, but margin compression accelerates if the Fed actually hikes. And if you're building fixed income infrastructure, treasury ladder automation, or brokerage stack tools on Alpaca or DriveWealth, you have a genuine tailwind. Jeremy Grantham on the Diary of a CEO explicitly named TreasuryDirect.gov, Fidelity, and Vanguard as the platforms consumers are flocking to. That's a retail demand signal you can build on. Let's talk about the fundraising environment, because Grantham's message here was unambiguous. He characterized the U.S. equity market as trading at approximately 35 to 40 times earnings, comparable to the Nasdaq's 31 to 35 times peak in 2000, before an 82% decline. His advice to founders was direct: raise as much capital as possible now, before access dries up. Darius Dale identified a 10 to 15% S&P 500 drawdown as the threshold at which the Fed signals willingness to ease, but Dale was explicit that in that scenario, quote, nothing works. No sector provides meaningful fundraising shelter. Goldman Sachs is projecting low single-digit to near-zero 10-year equity returns. John Hussman is projecting negative average S&P 500 returns for the next decade. The institutional capital that funds late-stage fintech rounds is itself under performance pressure. That compresses risk appetite for unproven unit economics. So here's the stress test. Model your runway against a six-month fundraising blackout. If your current runway does not survive that scenario at 70% of projected revenue, the time to extend it is right now, not after the window moves. One more compliance item before we close. Kevin Warsh explicitly rejected the Phillips curve framework and abandoned forward guidance. The direct implication: every fintech product that discloses rate-linked terms under Regulation Z or TISA was built on the assumption that the Fed telegraphs moves 1 to 3 meetings in advance. That assumption is now gone. Audit every rate-sensitive consumer disclosure in your product stack. Quick win before you close out today. Open your AI vendor invoices and calculate what you're paying per month across every API you're using. Then model what that line item looks like at 10 times current pricing, and again at 50 times. If either scenario makes a core feature economically non-viable, you need to know that today, not when the repricing happens. That's the kind of stress test that separates founders who survive a correction from the ones who get caught flat-footed. Get after it. We'll talk tomorrow. That's your core brief for today. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more.